myself.
Yeah, I got to get a car. I think I got to get some strings on it this week. Because I miss bringing it. I miss turning that thing around. I think it's like a convict. You get used to ball and chain. Get up here while you see. I'm getting where I can't see good even with the glasses. There's a holy and beautiful city whose builder and ruler is God. John saw it descending from heaven when Patmos in exile he trod. Its high massive wall is of jasper. The city itself is pure gold, and when my threatened ear is folded, my eyes shall its glory behold. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a waiting and longing for the white city that's soon coming down. No sin is allowed in that city, and nothing defiling or mean. No pain and no sickness can enter, no crape on the doorknob is seen. Earth's sorrows and cares are forgotten. No tempter is there to annoy. No parting words ever are spoken. There's nothing to hurt and destroy. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a hall, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city that's soon coming. No heartaches are known in that city, no tears ever moisten the eye. There's no disappointment in heaven, no envy and strife in the sky. The saints are all sanctified holy, they live in sweet harmony there. My heart is now set on that city, and someday its blessings I'll share. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city that's soon coming down. My loved ones are
Suffering. Mm-hmm. Pick a good song tonight, Brother Kent. We're going to end what we're going to be on tonight, Romans chapter number 5. Great song we're going to be in on tonight. I want you to find your places, where they ever stand with you. We'll get right on into the to everything and thank God that He knows what He's doing, because at times I have no idea what I'm doing. I tell people that all the time. They're like, "Brother John, how do you figure out what you're gonna preach on Sunday?" I'm like, "If it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't be preaching." Amen. Hey, praise God. But let's look at verse number 12. It says, "Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned." For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigneth from Adam to Moses, even from them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who in the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man, one man's offenses death reigneth, by one much more, which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came unto all men to condemnation, even so by the righteous of one the free gift came unto all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Our grace and Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be back tonight. We ask you, Father, just touch the servants here tonight. Lead us, guide us, direct us, Father, in all things that we do, Father. Just so thankful for the time we get to come to worship and study thy word, Father God, Lord. And may you just have your way in the service tonight, dear Lord, Father. There be one here that's lost and undone, Father. I ask, Father God, that you touch them and save them before it's eternally too late, dear Lord, Father. Maybe there's one that's living in sin, Father God, that's been saved, Father, that you'll just touch him and bring him back to the sheepfold, Father. And we just love you and we'll praise you. Be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
And I ain't about to have a heat stroke up here. Praise God. Y'all remember last week we talked about, not last week, week four. Sorry, I'm a week off. Last week is Mother's Day, right?
Yeah.
Amen. So, last week we talked about salvation through Christ, the peace of God, the patience with God, the pardon of God. And I know I got a little hung in on that patience thing right there about how, you know, patience works to glorify God. And that's what we're to do. I know some people, they find it a little funny that, you know, that God will tell us to be patient, even though patience brings tribulation. we have that patience with one another due to the very fact that it glorifies God. And we can't glorify God if we're not patient with one another. But tonight we want to talk about sin and salvation. So, we know that God created Adam and Eve perfect. When He made them, they were made perfect in the Garden of Eden. They were to live forever without dying. They would have lived on for eternity. But sin marred this perfect creation of God. And Psalms 51 and verse number 5, David writes, "Behold, I was sharpened in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Each one of us in this room, there may be few, but there's mighty faith in this room. And you need to know this, because I'm going to tell you this right now. We, each one of us in this room, was conceived of a man and a woman, which by their fault makes us sinners.
Amen.
Romans 6 says, For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So you're born to sin, but you're saved from sin.
Amen.
Man's heart is naturally evil. A lot of people will say, well, I have a big heart, I have a wonderful heart, my heart is pure as gold. And I've heard people say, That person's heart is as pure as gold. Well, Jeremiah says that the heart is deceitful above all things. That means it's the most deceitful thing you have in your body is your heart. It's deceitful above all things and disparagingly what? Wicked. And who knows that? God. God knows that for sure. That each one of us are wicked to the very core in our bodies. You may say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I do. The Bible says that that's what it is.
There
it is. The Bible tells me my heart's the most wickedest thing in my entire body, I have to believe it. I know that it's wicked above all measures. So is yours. Amen. But Christ came to redeem man from their sins. Glory to God. I'm glad He did.
Amen.
Only Christ can make things new. He says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, He says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new." You know, when you got saved, that old person was kind of shoved away. He took it away from you. He said, "Okay, this is not who you are anymore. You've been born again. You are not that sinner that you once was." And He put a new man on the inside. The outside appearance, it looks the same.
That's right.
He don't care about your outside appearance, church. Now, I do believe you should want to dress right. You should want to do things right. But He doesn't care what the outside of you looks like. God looks deeper into a man. Mm-hmm. And once He saves you, He changes who you are. Let me just say, when you're born again, there has to be a change. You just can't stay the old person, live the old ways, fuss and fight and do a drink and alcohol and all that stuff if there is no change.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying you're not going to fuss with your wife or your husband. It's going to be times where you're going to go through that. But there has to be some type of change.
Yes, it does.
There has to be some type of change. You just can't stay who you once was.
That's right.
You have to change. God changes you. The more you study your Bible, the more you go to church, the more you pray. You know those simple things I was talking about earlier this morning that nobody likes to do anymore? If we would do those, He would continue to change us and make us a better person than who we are.
Amen.
But nobody wants to do that anymore. That's the New Age church that we're living in.
Right.
We don't have to read our Bible to find out about sin. We don't have to pray and ask God to forgive us of our sins. I just got to show up to a light show and have some emotional feelings like Brother McNeese said the other day, and I'm saved.
Don't work.
No, you're not.
Amen.
You're not saved.
Amen.
You can be emotional all you want to. God don't save you based off of emotions.
Right.
A lot of people think they're saved from their sins because they sat in church pew and they bawled their eyes out and that saved them. If there was no change on the inside of you, you do not have salvation.
Amen.
There was no change, then there's no freedom from sin. So many people say, well, I was saved, but it's okay if I go do this. No, it is not.
Amen.
It's not okay. Getting a little ahead of myself, amen. Ezekiel 36 says that God will give us a new heart. He says, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your out of your flesh. I will give you a heart of the flesh. Imagine that. God said, I'm going to take that old hardened, wicked, deceitful heart that you have in your body that I've been turning to stone because you keep rejecting the gospel and I keep hardening it. You remember what he done to Pharaoh? He every time Pharaoh rejected, God hardened his heart. And it became more like stone and more like stone. And Pharaoh never got that new heart of the flesh. I'm glad today I was saved. He took that old stony heart out. And he put me a new one in. Let me tell you, here in the chapters we read, we have Adam at the start of sin. Y'all women, y'all heard that right? I said Adam was the start of sin.
That's right.
Everybody likes to always blame Eve, but Adam was the start of sin.
Amen.
When God gave Moses, Lord help me. When God gave Adam the commandment to eat of every tree other than the tree of knowledge and good and evil, it was his fault for not teaching Eve not to eat it. Jesus, that old Satan served up to him and said, why don't you take this little bite, Adam? Eve, it ain't gonna hurt you. What God said that God told you not to eat it, why not? How many of you have that ever happened to you? You'll be sitting there and everything will be fine, and all of a sudden, something God, you know, in his holy word says don't do. All of a sudden you hear somebody whispering in your ear saying it's okay to do it. God will be alright with it. He, remember in that book that you read, he said he's faithful and just to forgive. But guess what? It's still sinful.
Amen.
That's how Satan works. It's
That's
easy.
Right.
And he knows where to get you to. He knows the exact points he can push to have me and my wife arguing all day long.
Amen.
By one of them. He can push her points or he can push my point, and our whole day is just ruined. We're going to be fussing and fighting all day long. But the start of sin happened because sin came through Adam. The Bible tells us right here that wherefore by one man sin entered into the world. It was by one man that mine and your death certificate was signed. It was by one man that we had no choice but to be sinners when we was born. It was by one man. I didn't say woman, I said one man.
Amen.
And they all had their curses. Y'all remember over there in Genesis chapter number 3, they all had curses. All three people involved in this situation had a curse. The first one, he cursed the serpent. He said, you will now crawl upon your belly for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
It's going to be the only curse to never be lifted.
That's right.
The serpent, when the world dies and everything's turned around and God lifts all the curses, there will not be one serpent that walks upon his feet. The second thing that the second curse that happened into the world is to the woman.
Yep.
The woman, because she was deceived, had to bear children and be submissive unto her husband.
Amen.
Everybody leaves that part out. They just like saying that she has to be a childbearer. But no, the Bible says that she has to be submissive to her husband. That's the truth. That's the gospel.
Amen.
That she just didn't get away with just deceiving her husband and getting away with it because of that action. That she done, when she took that fruit and she brought it to Adam, she deceived him. And God decided that she was so easily, and I'm not trying to upset no female in here today, I'm just trying to preach the truth, that they're so easily distracted and so easily wavered off that he made you the lesser vessel of the gospel.
That's right.
You are the lesser vessel of the gospel.
Amen.
But we still listen to y'all all the time, don't we? Do you know why? Because we're just as deceitful. And we can be just easily persuaded. But God said that the woman was going to bear children. And that she was going to be submissive unto her husband. And the man was going to have to work the ground. I said, would no longer bring forth what it once did without him putting the work in. It would be hardened, and he would have to hurt his back to get in there. Those are the three curses. And guess what? All man will die.
Yep.
He said, I'm shutting off the garden. I'm shutting off the perfect garden. I'm shutting it off. You'll never enter back into it. You can never come back in it. I forgot one, but I'm going to go back and catch it in just a second. I'm pretty sure some of y'all caught that. I forgot one. I did it on purpose, so don't start throwing stuff up here. He said, hey, we're separated. I can no longer dwell with you, and you can no longer dwell with me. He said, right before the flood, when sin, I'm talking about this started out with one sin, the disobedience of God. Being disobedient to the Word of God is the first sin you find in the Bible.
That's exactly right.
Disobedience.
Yes.
So much of it's still going on today.
Amen.
First sin in the Bible is still one of the biggest. I don't like putting big and little in words, and it's all in sin, because sin is sin, but it's the one you see the most.
Right.
Disobedience to the Word of God. All right, let me get going. I'm not trying to preach eternity. Because that we had death and we had separation. Well, I'm hitting all my notes and I didn't realize it. And it's something that, you know, we have to realize is that if you're lost, you're separated.
Yep.
You're still separated from God. There's no you getting your way back on your own. There's no, well, I know I do sin some, but it's okay. To me, that's not right. You can't say that. A saved person sitting in this room or watching wherever they're watching it, there's no physical way that they can say it's okay if I sin a little bit when you've been brought out of sin, saved from your sin, and called to live a holy and righteous lifestyle. But so many people tell you today it's okay to live in sin because he saves you. That's not true. But there's a stigma to sin that Paul talks about here. He says, but not as the offense, verse number 15, I'm sorry, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift, for through the offense of many, the offense of one, many be dead. Much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. So we have security.
Yes, we do.
From sin. You say, it's okay for me to live in sin. Well, I got security from it. I got somebody who tries to lead me in the right direction. Now, I don't always, don't think I'm trying to tell you I always go in the right direction. I am not perfect by no means. We just read the scripture. The scripture says that all man have sinned and all man must die. So that tells you right now there's not a single perfect one in here. Because if it was, we would not, right? Right? We would not. But yet, he said that, I got someone who tries to lead me, but like I said, I don't always go that way. Sometimes my flesh pulls me this way, and sometimes Satan pulls me a little farther this way, and sometimes my flesh will say, okay, we just need to stay right here, and all the whole time the Holy Ghost is like, you don't get your butt over here, boy. And I'm like, yes, sir, and I try to run over there, and then my flesh brings me back over here. That's the stigma of sin. It's security in it that I know I'm still going to fail, brother Ed. I'm going to fail daily. I'm not perfect by no means. If you think you have a perfect pastor, whoa, I'm sorry. Stop right there and reevaluate yourself. Well, I'm nowhere near perfect. Don't believe me? Ask my wife after the service. Amen? I'm saying that I have that security that when Adam, because of Adam, I have to die. But because of Jesus Christ, I'll pass from life unto death and I'll live for eternity.
Amen.
This is not the way I meant to preach this tonight. But there is salvation to be found in that security.
Amen.
We have security. And we have somebody that can bring us back to God. Because if you remember back in Genesis, I think it's 3 and 15 or 3 and 16. He said, and for the serpent, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. That was not a curse, church. That was prophecy. That was God speaking something into existence, saying this will happen. This is going to take place, because Moses had the law of God, and I don't know if any of you have ever read the law of God, but there's no way that we could be saved by it. There's no way that we could be born again by it. I'm talking about, I don't even think I could keep half of it, if you want to know the truth. Because once you break one of them, you done broke them all.
That's right.
And Moses had this law. And everybody says, well, the Bible says that, what about those between Adam and Moses when there was no law? The Bible says that no one put a sin when there was no law. Well, there was kind of law, because God told you not to do something, Adam, and you ain't done it.
Yeah.
So now, because of you, we all are sinners.
That's right.
There was no way that we could have been the perfect people in this world. We would have never made it back. Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation from separation of sin.
That's right.
Amen.
Paul says you can't work it. You can't work your way back to get to God. You can't pay your tithes all the time correctly and not be saved and get back to God. You can't join a membership of a church and get back to God. Well, that's a good start. It's the start at church. But if that's all you got is sitting at church all the time and not getting anything out of it, and you're just there for a social media group or just to hang out and have a great conversation with people, then by all means, let me tell you right now, you're not here for the right reasons, amen? You're here for the wrong reason. This is a place where you're supposed to come, and you're supposed to find, and not only find Jesus Christ, but better yourself in Him from the preaching of the Word. You're supposed to grow in Him by the preaching of His holy Word. You're supposed to not only grow in Him by the preaching, but when you walk out that door, you get in your car, you go home, not only are you supposed to learn here, but you're supposed to continue to learn out there.
Amen.
Amen. That's a little off topic. That's a good one to write that down for a Sunday morning message. But sin ruined everything. God's plan was immediately ruined because of sin.
Yeah.
But aren't you glad you have a God that loves you enough that He already had a plan, because He knew you was going to fail Him. He said, I'm going to create man in our image. He's going to be perfect. He's going to fail this day in the garden.
Yes.
I'm not going to interfere with it. I'm going to let Him make His own choice. That's the same way He done me and you when He saved us.
He
said, this person's going to be there that day. I'm going to let Him make the choice. Does he want to receive salvation from his sins? Or I need to turn his heart into stone a little bit more? Because you know, once your heart is turned completely into stone, there's no turning it back. There's only one person who can break that. And I'm just one of those preachers, I believe, once he sends the Holy Ghost to you once or twice, and maybe it ought to be one time in your entire life, and you reject him, he never has to come back. But sin, let me get back to where I was at. Verse 17 says, for if by one man offense of death reigneth, by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. He's just reminding us what we talked about in Romans chapter number 3. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's just reminding, Paul's just reminding him for the Romans here what he wrote a little earlier, I think it was chapter number 1, where he lists out a whole bunch of sins and talked about a whole bunch of sins and he talked about how we were all sinners. Revelation 21, it says that, but the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolizers, and the liars shall be part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. not everybody you're ever going to meet is going to be saved. Let me just tell you that now. There's going to be people who turn a deaf ear to the salvation of Jesus Christ. And because of the sin of one man, they will be bound for eternity in a lake of fire. Hell's not made for the human. Hell is not made for the soul of man. It's because of sin entering into the world, they are now bound for hell. God didn't create hell for me and you. He doesn't want me and you to go. He doesn't want us to be cast out into the lake of fire for eternity. Because I don't know if you read that or not, but it said, but this is what it said. It said, but the fearful. How many people in the last 2 years have been so terrified to walk outside of their house? It says the unbelieving. Now that's the big one. That's the one that sends you to hell for real. Think I'm joking. The unbelieving in Jesus Christ will send you to hell very, very quickly. You people say the only way to heaven is by Jesus Christ. Well, guess what? The only way to hell, you know what it is? By not believing in Jesus Christ. And the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolizers, and all the liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. You might not really ever thought of it this way. I'm pretty sure that a lot of y'all have. That's why I like preaching y'all. A lot of y'all already know where I'm going with most of the stuff I'm talking about. But you know, it's like taking a jar and your mama sitting it on the counter and telling you not to touch it. Because if you touch it, death will surely pass you. I brought you in this world, I'm going to take you out. Anybody ever heard that? I know I have. Hey man, I brought you in this world, I'm going to take you out. That's what he told Adam about that tree. He said, don't touch it, because if you touch it, Adam, you're going to die. Death will surely pass you. He couldn't help it. After he brought it to him, he said, he bit it. His eyes were open. He was naked. Yep. Sin had entered into the world. And the world needed a Savior. John chapter number 3 said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Yep. The same came by Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher that come from God. For no man can do the miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? And Jesus said unto him, excuse me. And Jesus said unto him, marvel not that I said that ye must be born again. Nicodemus said, I'm sorry. And he entered into the world and said to his mother, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Which, if you're born of the flesh, you're flesh, right? How many people in this room was born of the flesh? I give you one guess. Amen. All of us was born of the flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Yes. He said, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whether it cometh and whether it goeth. Right. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now I can look at each and one of you and I can tell you right now, you are born of the flesh. But the Bible says I can't tell you whether or not. I can hear the wind coming.
That's right.
I don't know where it's coming from though. I can see it. But you in this room tonight, you should know whether or not you're born of the Spirit of God or not. And then our spirits will bear witness with each other. But salvation from sin, the power of sin separated us from God. where sin grew, God's grace abounded much more. It says, by many when sin entered into the world, many would pass to death. But there would be more. I'd say, well, there would be more. What was that? What it's saying is how great my sin is. How great your sin is. How great the world's sin is. There's nothing the blood of Jesus Christ can't cover.
Amen.
It's the grace of God abounded much more in my life than sin ever did. It's saying that when I was no sinner bound for eternity in hell, that God's grace was much more than my sins ever were.
Amen.
God's grace is so much more than we give it credit for in our lives. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Sin had power over my life. Sin had me bound in chains. Sin had me on the path and on the road to where my name and my spot picked out and the lake of fire was already there. It had my name enrolled there. It said reserved for Joshua Cook. But grace moved in.
Amen.
Mercy showed up, and the blood of Jesus was applied. And God reached down and said, that name is now mine to go into the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
You can't have him anymore. And no, Satan says, you know what? We're still going to sin. And you know what Jesus said? My grace will abound more. He said, hey, don't worry about it. There's nothing that the blood of Jesus cannot cover.
Amen.
My blood covers it all. How about throwing me preaching light? But there's power. But that's the power of salvation. Look at me getting all ahead of my notes again. There's power in salvation. There's power in salvation. You want to know how to make your home happier? Find salvation.
Amen.
You want to find out how to grow in Christ Jesus? Read your Bible.
Amen.
Fall upon your knees.
Yes.
If you want to learn that through sin that may abound in this world, and though Satan may be powerful, and he might be one of the most powerful beings in this world, God is more powerful.
Amen. Amen.
This is still God's world. He might be the prince and the power of the air. But it never called him the king of the world. We all know who the king of kings is.
Amen.
When he lives in us all. I told brother, I think it's Brother Yass talking about this morning. I can't remember. Somebody at the concert last night. I said, you know, I said, like I heard the other day. If a God that big moves into somebody as small as me, he's going to stick out somewhere.
Right.
He's going to stick out somewhere.
Yeah.
He's just not going to just stay in here and just ball up in a little corner. He's too big and too powerful for that.
Yeah.
I had somebody tell me the other day, they said, man, they said, I feel so bad for what you and your wife been through over the last 8 years. And I said, you know what? I said, God stuck out in our lives during that 8 years. I said, there's some times we didn't feel like he was really there. I say he starts sticking out more and more.
Yeah.
And there's more difficult times that we go through. But you know what John says? You are God's little children and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you that is in the world.
Yeah.
That is in the world. When Christ, the truth, comes into your life, remember he said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the light, no man comes to the Father except by me. There's that. He just ended it all right there. Everybody says there's no way back to God. We can't get back there. There's no physical way we can ever get back there. The Savior of the world said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come unto the Father except by me. And I tell you what, it didn't take fancy light shows to show me that either. It didn't take some somebody flicking the light switch on and off to get me to realize, hey, that Jesus is the way back. It didn't take a big shouting service to show me that either. I'm a country preacher. I love shouting services. When you in them, you know you in them. But sometimes it's the quiet services where God's really moving in on the scene. He's letting people say, hey, listen up. You need to know this. Like last Sunday. That was one of the quietest services I can remember here in a long time. But when I looked out across the crowd, you can tell God was dealing with each individual. Just like tonight. You might not realize how He's dealing with you tonight. You might think, well, this ain't even to me. First, it's about sin and salvation. It's to everybody.
Yes.
But He might get you when you're at home trying to lay in your bed because you tried to ignore everything that He tried to say through me this afternoon. That doesn't work with the Holy Spirit if you're His.
That's true.
It doesn't work with you. Work with Him. He's like, okay, you think you're getting away with it now? Wait till I get you alone. And I ponder on your heart the entire time. That's not a good feeling. I'll tell you that. And if He is the truth in us, then He will set us free. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. As God's children, we remain free tonight. Because by sin, by one man, sin entered into the world. But by one man, salvation came to all.
Amen.
If you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, don't leave here without Him.
Amen.
Because you are by Adam, by the first Adam, you are a sinner. But by the last Adam, you can be saved.
Sure.
Notice it don't say the second Adam, it says the last Adam. Because there's only one more. That's all there'll ever be. I don't want you to stand before the Almighty God and be called a liar, unbeliever, a whoremonger, an abomination. I don't want you to be called a murderer, an idolizer, a sorcerer, and have your part in the lake of fire. I want you to know tonight that Jesus Christ loved you and He died for you. That sin may pass from you by His precious blood. Because where sin abounds, raise your hand if you was a sinner at one point in time. I ain't going to call you a sinner tonight because if you're saved, I'll tell you what you are in just a minute. Because whereby sin abounded, one time sin bounded every single one of us,
yes.
Grace did much more.
Amen.
And no longer, people say I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I love that song, Sinner Saved by Grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I love that song. I do, I like it. The Bible says once we're saved, we're no longer a sinner. We're saints of God.
Saved by grace.
A Bible even says at one point in time they will glorify the word sin. And you know how we do that today? I'm a sinner saved by grace. I am a sinner saved by grace. I don't like that title. I like the title of a saint. Born again believer of God.
Amen.
Because where sin abounded, God's grace done much more. Mm-hmm. If anybody would like to come tonight, you can come. If not, we're going to close out. This preacher's going to go find him a bite to eat. He's a little hungry. My Baptist roots are starting to show. But I tell you what, I am looking forward to next week already. Getting into chapter number 6 and then going back in from chapter number 6 to chapter 7. And then guess where we're going after chapter 7, church? Chapter 8. Amen. Praise